You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network. Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor.
Everybody's happy.
Striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
The end of the week, Friday, the 5th day of February, 2010. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Romans 8:26. Now, sometimes people allow themselves to get a bit distracted by what they consider to be a disadvantage or a weakness in their lives. It may be something about their personality or looks that they don't like. Maybe it's some kind of unfair situation that they're caught up in. Maybe it's a divorce, a business deal gone wrong, just a bad break of any kind. Well, we all have things that can feel like disadvantages. We all have things that just, make this thing called life a little harder on us. But Romans 8:26, that's one of those scriptures, man, write it on the tablet of your heart. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. I don't know if there's any place in the scripture where it says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our strength. I'm sure he does. But you know what? When we're in our strength, when we're on top of our game, on top of the mountain, we're probably not too concerned about connecting with the Holy Spirit. And that's not as it should be. Unfortunately, it seems to be the nature of man. It's when we are in the valley, when we're down and out, when the world's out to get us, that's when we start looking for this Jesus and this Holy Spirit that he promised us that would come and comfort us and have all the answers and help us in our weakness, according to Romans 8:26. Now, when I say write it on the tablet of your heart, you probably heard that and it sounds like, church talk. That's that Christianese, which I try to stay away from as much as I possibly can. But I don't think that really qualifies as Christianese because it is written. Write it on the tablet of your heart. When you're feeling weak, whenever this thing, whatever it is, your personality that you don't like, which, by the way, you can change, your looks, which you don't like, which I'm not encouraging you to change your looks, but we all know there are probably far too many methods for a person to change their looks these days. And sometimes the results are worse than, the after is worse than the before, so I don't really encourage that. What I encourage is to accept yourself as God created you. God saw beauty in however he created you. Oh God, let me see myself. Well, number one, God, I want to see the world through your eyes, but while we're at it, let me see myself. Because for the moment, I'm in the world, I'm not of the world, but I'm in it. So let me see myself through your eyes. Maybe I won't be so hard on myself. Maybe I'll go to the gym more often. Whatever. Just give me your eyes, God. So we get caught up in all of these different things. You know, the bad business, the bad marriage, the whatever. And we get distracted. We get distracted from running the good race, fighting the good fight, reaching for the prize. All of the things that the Word of God encourages us as believers to do. I mean, we get so tied up in a knot over our own situations and our own problems that the very thing we're called to do, which is to share the good news, we don't do it. Because we don't have any good news. We know there is good news. We've read the good news. But personally, in our own walk, in our own life, you know, we got no good news. Our headline screams, problem. Well, we all know it's not about me, right? And when I say me, I mean you, and you, and you, and you. It's not about us. Look at what's going on around us in the world. Things of such incredible magnitude. I mean, of course, we have Haiti on the front page right now. But, friend, that's just what's on the front page. Open it up to the second page. You know? Still orphans dying every day in Africa. Still people blowing themselves up in the Middle East. I could go on and on. But I, you know, it's not what this is about. To, you know, shower you with bad news and tell you what a sorry state the world is in. This is actually to encourage you out of that place in your own life. And the reason I said that you write that scripture on the tablet of your heart, which, again, I know you've heard that, but it is written, is so that when these things, these issues start to arise, when the devil brings them to the forefront of your mind and starts to play spiritual terrorism with you, or mental terrorism, you can say, you can recite that scripture to yourself. If you're in a crowded room, you might want to do it without moving your lips. It's up to you. It's optional. But when it comes, when the distraction comes, when the pain, when the angst, when the frustration, when the depression comes, quote the scripture, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Okay, that's the Word of God. You just spoke it right back to Him. Now, as a believer, you say, Holy Spirit, come. Word says you'll help me in my weakness. Red flag, I am currently experiencing weakness. Holy Spirit, come. And if a man believes, Word of God says, you got to believe. But if you believe, would the scripture say yesterday, the one that I put up when I wasn't here? If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And sometimes it's just easier to believe the negative outcome than the positive one. But the Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is real. And the Holy Spirit is ready, willing, and able to help you in your weakness. So, just because you have a disadvantage, just because you've been through a tough time, doesn't mean you're allowed to just sit back and settle where you are. Friend, whatever you're up against in the natural, God still has something great for you to do. He wants to show Himself strong in and through you. The Holy Spirit wants to help you when you feel weak. That's one of His jobs, according to the Word. That's what He does. If you'll stay in faith, if you'll not get negative towards yourself, not get negative towards your future, not get negative towards God, then God can take what you think is a liability and turn it into an asset. He can move the numbers around on your spiritual balance sheet. Liabilities become assets. When's somebody going to come out with like a QuickBooks software, but for spiritual accounting? Think about that. That's a deep thought. Some of you might want to take action. All right. Let me finish this up with this. What you think is a disadvantage, God is more than able to turn around to be an advantage. Not a disadvantage, but an advantage. It is a disadvantage. We accept that. Oh, God, this is a disadvantage. But I believe you can turn it into an advantage. Now, that's when he shows up and shows off, and you find the abundant life that he came to give just to you. Father, today I give you all that I am. I invite you into the weak places in my life so that you can turn them into strengths. Thank you for working in my life, and thank you for filling me with faith and expectancy. Father, this morning we pray for the people of Haiti. We pray for the workers, the responders, for the future of Haiti. And Lord, we pray this morning for our military. We pray for Sergeant Brady and company, God. We pray that you keep them safe, that you comfort them, that you bring them home victorious. And I offer up a special prayer this morning for my friend Mike Reed and for Pastor Matt Chandler of the Village Church in Denton, Texas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, friends, this is going to be a short show. I've got some commitments and a few things I got to take care of today. And then Monday, there will be no broadcast on Monday. In fact, there are... I'm going to probably write a blog this weekend detailing what's going to transpire over the next... Well, I'm not even going to put a time frame on it. A couple months, I would think, at least. But some things going on, some things happening, and... I really want some time to sit down and prayerfully think it out. And once I've done that, I'll type it out, and then I'll share it with you. Let's have a quick look at these numbers. The Dow is off 15 points. The S&P is down by about a half a point. The comp is up almost 6 points. Now, yesterday, you know, I leave the shop for a day, and you guys just let the market go to heck in a handbasket. Wow, what a drop. Now, I pointed this out on the chart last night. When I got back home yesterday afternoon, and of course, I was driving around, I hear on the radio the numbers, you know. Even I'm at the health club yesterday afternoon, my wife, on the treadmill, I got my eyes closed, I got my earbuds in. I'm just, you know, cooking along, getting in the zone. All of a sudden, my wife elbows me, and she goes, "Hey," and I'm like, "What?" Because she's watching the TV screens up in front of us. You know, I got my eyes closed. You know, I'm getting down. And she goes, "The Dow's in a free fall." Now, this is like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Arizona time. I'm like, "The Dow's closed." She goes, "But they just said on the news the Dow's free falling." I'm like, "Okay, honey, thanks." Which, you know what? That was precious. Because she knows that I do this thing in the markets, and it was important and relevant. She understood that much of it. I mean, I've tried to encourage her to have a deeper level of understanding, but you know, she's just not that into it. So okay, not going to force her. But it was funny, it was cute, but mostly it was precious that, you know, she wanted to be able to share some financial news with me. That the Dow was free-falling after the markets were closed. Anyway, I highlighted this on the chart that I posted last night when I made it home after all my stuff and going to the gym. Look where the market opened yesterday. It came down, punched through that 1085/1086 weekly zone that we put out last Sunday night. It traded below, and then it pulled right back up into the zone. Now, keep in mind, the zone itself, you know, the zone is from one level to the next level. So to call the 85-86 the zone, it really isn't. That's the level itself. It's a one-point spread from zone to zone. So it pulled back into itself. Yeah, if you look at it on a chart, you'll see it. And on my 10,000 contract chart, it pulls right up into it, tags the 21-period EMA, and then continues down. Nicely does it continue down. Down to the next weekly zone that we published on Sunday night, which is 1076/1077. What does it do? It trades right through that, pulls back up into the spread, 76/77, connects with what? Yeah, 21-period EMA, and continues its downward trek all the way down to the next weekly trading level, zone, vernacular. It's an odd thing. 1059/1060. If you look at Sunday night's post, you'll see it there. I mean, to come home, you know, at the end of a day and to sit down and to pull these up and to see it play out yet again, it's, you just, you know, you got to say, wow. That's peculiar, but it did again. Where did the market stop? Where did the free fall stop yesterday? The next level down, 1059/1060. And then it caught a bounce. Then this morning, overnight, it got a little action going, a little back and forth. You know, all the other markets pretty much tanked because of what happened in the U.S. markets yesterday. And then this morning, surprise, surprise, we get good job numbers. I mean, the numbers yesterday were horrible, of course, days ago. That's why the Dow went into a free fall, as the news put it, as my wife put it. But surprise, surprise, they managed to come out with good numbers this morning. Got to stop this free fall. Now, the numbers themselves, I just got to tell you, I mean, you have to put stock in them because the rest of the world put stock in them. But that's the only reason I put any stock in them at all, is because the rest of the world does. The rest of the world is going to react to those numbers and make trades based on those numbers. And so if I want to be on the right side of the market, I got to see where the herd is going, at least for the moment. Because those numbers are going to get revised. Okay, they were expecting unemployment to go to 10.1, 10.2, but now they say, oh my goodness, surprise, it's like 9.7. Okay. I mean, I pray it's true. But wait till the revision comes along. See if it isn't closer to 10.5. See where we are 6 months, 9 months out from here. I'm from the school of just, you know, I screwed up, let me go ahead and take my lumps now, get it over with, and get on about my business. To have this hanging over our heads, the whole this economy thing, man, just let the economy sort itself out, put people back to work, don't raise their stinking taxes, you know, give people who still have some money an incentive to create jobs, real jobs, not the kind of jobs where it costs $1 million of taxpayer money to create a phony job to pay some guy $50,000 a year. Now, I'm happy for the guy that makes the 50 grand a year. I'm happy for his family. But the fact that taxpayers had to shell out $1 million of their taxes and put it through this bureaucratic meat grinder so that the end product is one man gets one job for 1 year for 50 grand. It costs us $950,000 to do that? That's silly. It's ridiculous. That's not how this country became the great nation that it is. These guys are living in a la-la land. But I digress. Okay, so what happened on the overnight? Incredible. The market drops to our next level down, which, again, was put out last Sunday night, that level being 1049/1050. Okay, that marks the bottom of yet another zone. So how far did the market actually come down? I'm the first to admit, didn't quite make it. We missed it by, come on, a half a point, I think. 1050.50. Is that right? The low, yeah. So the zone was 49/50, or the level, whatever. You can see it on the chart. And we got within a half a point, turned back up, and we put in a lower high, lower than the high after the close yesterday, the overnight high. And then off the open, we attempt to make a rally, and we get a little double top going on there. Then we put in a lower high. Now we've got a higher high, but it still didn't take out that early morning double top. And we've now dropped back into the, we're right in that 59/60 zone. So below us, we almost touched it on the overnight, missed it by a half a point, 1049/1050. It would not surprise me to see us close in that area today. Now the market may get something going on. I mean, that was quite a drop yesterday. And so any accumulation, if what we're seeing this morning, you know, is accumulation, then at some point this morning or early afternoon, we should turn up like a rocket and just blast out of here. Just watch those double tops and then watch that high put in on the overnight be your signal that this action we've seen this morning is in fact accumulation and the big boys want to take the market higher. If that's not the case, then I say we finish up somewhere down around that 1049/1050. And if this is not accumulation, okay, if this is not serious accumulation going on here with this back and forth action, then what's the next level below us? How low can we go? Well, the lowest weekly zone on the ES is 1022/1023. That's what I've got. It's way down there. That would be, what, about 25 points below where we are right now, which would put us down another 26 points on the S&P, another 260, roughly 290 on the Dow. I really hope that doesn't happen. Although, as I said, letting the market straighten itself out, you know, take your lumps and move on. I believe that's the proper way to address the problem. But I know how much pain in the interim it causes everyone along the way. And I know that ultimately our officials, our current administration, is not going to allow it to play out that way. As desperately as the market itself wants to do that, they're going to run around like a bunch of crazy Dutch boys, you know, plugging their finger here and here and there. And we know what's ultimately going to happen, but we're going to waste a lot of money in the process, and then the inevitable still happens. That's my whole point. But you know what? I don't want to see anybody caused any sleepless nights and any pain right now, because a lot of people aren't ready to just, you know, take their lumps and And not everyone's really even in a position to. See, a young man, which, by the way, I'm really not. A young kid, 20, 25, 30, my goodness, even 35. You know what? If they had to start everything over from scratch and build their retirement from there, fund their kids' college, the whole nine yards, you know what? They could do it. If our administration would just let it all flush out, let everybody rebuild, it could happen. Now, there are other people who, because age is not necessarily on their side, well, they're starting to think, you know, my only hope now is to go play the lottery. If I don't hit the lottery, I'm toast. Well, friend, that's not what the Word of God says. You gotta believe. What did that scripture say yesterday? I don't want to misquote it. It's way too powerful. Mark 9:23 says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. God can turn your situation around in a day. I'm not saying he's going to turn it around today. But I do know that when you can't see anything happening, you have to believe that something is going on. It may not manifest today or this week or this weekend or even next week or next month. In fact, you may carry on in the same vein for, hopefully it won't be 40 years. I'd rather let it be 40 days, God. Or worst case, 40 weeks. But how long did they wander in the desert? Yeah. I know some people are going, God, it better be 40 months because I don't have 40 years. Well, I understand. Now, I'm at a point right now where I could still pray for 40 years, but that would put me at 90, so how much quality of life will I have? Well, you know what? A lot of people are healthy, happy, and vibrant, and out here in Phoenix, Arizona, playing golf at 90, and, man, just enjoying life and loving every minute of it. I do want to be one of those guys, so I just want you to be encouraged, no matter what your age, no matter what financial situation you're in at the moment. God is capable of doing a miracle in your life, not only in your finances, but in your marriage, in your relationships, in your church, in your home, with your children, whatever it is, friend. He's a God of miracles. And if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. It's in the book. Go read it. Write it on the tablet of your heart even. Mark 9:23. So this is where we're at in the market today. We've come down out of that 59-60 zone. The last time we found support, we were down around, and by the way, everything I just said on the ES, it's all the same for the Dow. I could give you the numbers on the Dow, and the levels all line up pretty much the same. All right, we caught support at 10.52 and a quarter. And then below that, we had support at, now this is pre-market, 10.51.50 and then 10.50.50. So, see, the fact that we didn't get all the way to that level, that 49.50 weekly zone, tells me that, you know, there's potentially a pocket of strength there. So maybe we come back down, we test that, and that's when they let the bulls out of the gate in Pamplona, and we get that rocket that I was talking about. If that doesn't happen, then I've already told you about the next level down. Hey, we've heard David Williams a lot of times. Now, his methodology is totally different from what I do. His is sophisticated and complicated, and mine's really not. But he'll talk about how the market was unable to touch a particular area or number, and that you know, implies weakness or implies strength, because, you know, although they anticipated it to go there, it didn't quite make it. Well, we saw that very thing in this market a few days ago. where were we? Let me find it. Okay, we had 1102, 1103 as one of our weekly levels. Okay, it was the top of a trading zone. We got to a swing high there was 1101.50. We had 1102/1103, got to 1101.25, and then the next day we were talking to David Williams, and he was talking about, I believe, that day being his on-time day for a market top. And I said, is it possible that we got it one day early? And we know that his work is plus or minus one unit of time. And he says, yes, it is possible that it came in one day early. And I was referring to that because of the fact when he and I were talking that day, the market was down around 1092, which is like 10 points below that level, which we didn't quite get to. So I'm really starting to understand what he means is when the market can't make it to a certain area, that implies weakness. Now, it only missed it by, what, a half a point? Yep. It only missed it by a half a point. But look at the weakness that really showed us. I mean, how far have we fallen? From 1102... to currently we're trading 1054. It's a pretty good move. Now, this morning, or the overnight, it would have been before those magical numbers were released about jobs, about the unemployment rate. The market came down to within a half a point of that level, 1049/1050. So am I going to apply the same theory to that as I did to the other day when I said, you know, maybe we already saw the high day early because the market couldn't quite get to that level? Am I going to apply that because this morning the market couldn't quite get down to that level? That would seem reasonable now, wouldn't it? So together we'll watch and see how this plays out. We'll see if, in fact, that is the case. All right, we got to move on because, as I mentioned, I have things to do and got a couple people to talk to. Let's jump right over to James Allen, As a Man Thinketh. We are in Chapter 4. This is a continuation. I'm just going to pick up right where we left off. Hopefully you've been able to follow along. We talked about a man needing to have a great purpose in his life. If you're not laser focused on a great purpose in your life, then you're going to get distracted by every worry, it's going to be tough. You need to be focused. I encourage you, if you haven't read the last post, I really encourage you to read the whole thing. And you may not be able to change your way of thinking overnight, but you'll at least understand how you can change your thinking, why you should change your thinking, and then over time, maybe your thinking will change. Nothing else, at least think about what you're thinking about. Those who are not prepared for the apprehension of a great purpose should fix their thoughts upon the faultless performance of their duty, no matter how insignificant their task may appear. Only in this way can the thoughts be gathered and focused, and resolution and energy be developed, which being done, there is nothing which may not be accomplished. The weakest soul, knowing its own weakness and believing this truth, that strength can only be developed by effort and practice, will at once begin to exert itself, and adding effort to effort, patience to patience, and strength to strength, will never cease to develop and will at last grow divinely strong. As the physically weak man can make himself strong by careful and patient training, So the man of weak thoughts can make themselves strong by exercising right thinking. And there you are. Okay, real quick, we're going to go to Bert. And then real quick, I'm going to pop in on Bill Provenzano. And then I'm going to hook up with R.J. Bomarito. You know what, friend? That's probably going to do it for today because I got to get out of here. On Monday, I will not be here at all. I'll detail that out in tonight's blog post, and then I'll remind you on Sunday night. And God willing, over the weekend, I'll have an opportunity to discuss future plans with you, let you know what's up. Let's, for right now, this moment in time, go talk to our buddy Bert at Daniel's Trading, or we'll speak to Miss Leslie, whoever answers the phone. Stay with me.
Trading, this is Leslie.
Hey, good morning, Leslie. Welcome to the show.
Well, good morning. How are you doing?
Doing very well.
Good, good. What an action-packed morning, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, I was away yesterday, and the market... well, yeah, let's back up a day. Tell us, let's start from yesterday and give us your thoughts on what happened in the markets yesterday, and then we'll talk about the action this morning.
Anticipation of this report. That was yesterday.
Okay.
The anticipation, traders unsure, not knowing whether to take a position, traders with positions wondering, well, what do I do? You know, what if this report does this? What if it does that? Well, the thing is, when you're going into a report such as this, and the day before, you have to decide, do you like to trade on report days or do you not? You know, it could have consequences with your mindset in trading when these volatile moves come up. And so if it does, if you find that it has, it's more taxing to you, if you find that it's difficult, stand aside. Standing aside is a position. It's taking, you know, taking a stance that you're not going to risk any money at that particular juncture. But people that were long, let's say, the gold, wondering, well, what's gold going to do tomorrow? If you want to stay into your long position, but you're concerned, you want to stop the bleeding in case it does do something negative, we suggest if you're long the April gold, you could spread it by going short the June gold. This we assume that the market may, you know, the months may parallel each other's moves, and therefore, if you are short 1 month and long the other month, we, you know, as long as there's a market that's running parallel like that, then you can go ahead and short one, and that for every point, you know, down, let's say, you're covered because the short position will kick in and you're making money on the other month. So we spread in those cases where people want to hang on to their positions. Yesterday we were taking those preliminary talks, positions with people, non-positions with people, just in anticipation of today's report because it was construed to be fairly large, you know, and we were looking for some kind of results. But then today was kind of it should be viewed fairly positive,
right,
because the creation of new jobs is still such a hidden factor. Bert and I were trying to sit and think about what President Obama has at top of his schedule to work on the job situation within this country. So we wonder, with the troops coming home, mm-hmm, in August, Okay, we'll have all types of people, you know, coming into the country with all different varied backgrounds. Our soldiers coming back to get jobs, and we have already a situation where we need jobs. Bert suggested, well, maybe he'll suggest a Hoover move, you know, where we create or work on our highways, things like that. And
you know,
so
my grandfather participated in that.
Beautiful.
What was that called? The WPA? Was that one of them?
Yeah, I can't remember, unfortunately, but things like that, you know. And I suggested to Bert it would be wonderful if he also did a green program, dealing with smaller issues too, animal welfare. The gold's coming down severely right now. Goodness.
What are we at on gold? I don't have a chart up.
Oh my goodness, we just hit a low of 10.4560.
Wow.
And out there, forgive me, I didn't mean to stop one conversation and get a new, but we got a huge spike down just this moment, you know, and on this particular bar, 10.5140 to 10.4550, so that's pretty influential right there. And traders out there, what they're forecasting, while we're on the gold, is they're forecasting a 10.10, 10.20, 10.30, all kinds of analysis. On my newsletter, and for weeks I've been using my hard support level of 10.28. My soft was 10.50. We broke through that. So anyway, the gold market right now is very interesting, 10.45.20, the low. But where were we? Yeah, the program, the Hoover program. So I thought a green program would be great. Certainly our roads, you know, they could do some work always as well. But it will be interesting to see what President Obama does have as far as a solution for our job situation in the future.
Now, a lot of the military coming home will be able to just continue to be in the military. But there will be those who are in reserves that were called up for active duty, which will go back to reserve status, and those will really be the numbers of people we'll be looking at that will need to find employment.
Yes.
And I don't know, I really don't know what the law is in regards to, is a man guaranteed, if a man is called up for active duty in the reserves, is he guaranteed his job when he comes back, if his job still exists?
This I do not know. Being a woman, that's an area that I'm very weak in. You know, I never have that information. My father was in World War II, and so I have all the World War II stories. He was in the Air Force there. But I don't know their rules and how they work internally. But that will be, you know, of great interest as we approach August.
And even if the reservist is guaranteed his job back, well, then the person who's been hired to do that job during the reservist absence, well, now that fellow becomes displaced as a worker. Unless the economy has grown to such a point that that job now supports two workers, which, you know, we're spending $1 million to create a $50,000 job with this current methodology, so I don't see that happening. Yeah, those are all very interesting questions that you pose. Because he has committed to bringing them home, and that is going to have an impact.
Well, here's another story then behind that. The reason that one report was actually a little bit favorable was, in my estimation, we have so many baby boomers, and I certainly am one, and I think many of them are taking themselves out of the job finding business, and, you know, perhaps working on their homes, downsizing their homes, or perhaps having maybe renting out space from their homes, or having home businesses, or other solutions, maybe going into part-time work a little bit, you know, on their own, being more self-employed perhaps even. That would be my thought, you know, looking at the picture, how many people want to go out to 20 interviews a month when you can work on something else, you know?
Right.
So with a certain amount of unfavorable results, trying to pursue a job, oftentimes people fall back and try to find other solutions, I feel. Interesting.
Yeah.
We won't have an answer. But we are seeing a little bit of a recovery in a variety of ways, and so by that we have to believe that we are on the road, but we have to be patient and understand that nothing's going to happen overnight. So I think this will be, one step forward, two steps back, two steps forward, one step back as we go. But anyway, were you, I didn't get a chance to hear your show this morning. We got a little bit busy with the report. Were you working on the S&P 500 on day trading this morning?
We were discussing, what transpired yesterday, mm-hmm. and we were discussing the weekly trading zones that I put out on Sunday night, the levels, and we came right down and touched that 1059 1060 area.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday afternoon bounced off of that, and then this morning we came down to my next level down, which again was published Sunday night, 1049/1050.
Mm-hmm.
And on the overnight we got within a half a point of that.
Yeah.
And so what we were discussing is, okay, earlier in the week when the market was moving up, we had a level at 1102/1103.
Mm-hmm.
And the market failed to get there by a half a point. And what we're starting to learn is that when we don't complete these areas, these levels, these zones, whatever, that it shows weakness in the market.
Yeah.
And the reverse is that it could show strength. So we didn't make that 1102, 1103 by half a point a couple of days ago. We said, okay, perhaps there's a top end, and we're going to see some weakness. So we saw a day of, consolidation, a very small range following that day. And then yesterday we get the big drop. And then this morning, or on the overnight, we don't get to that 1049.50 by like a half a point. And so I was talking to the listeners saying, can we apply that same school of thought that we applied the other day? Because we missed it by a half a point, and so let's watch and see if that happens. And we just came down, and we got to 1050.75. So on the overnight, we got to 1050.50. On this last move down, we only got to 1050.75. So we're mm-hmm. really watching this 1049/1050 area.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really important number right now for us, because if that can hold, then all of this action that we've seen on the overnight and this morning, we will consider that to be some accumulation, and we could make a very strong move up out of here.
If that
49.50 gives way, though, then our next level is, we would end up having another day like we had yesterday, potentially, if that mm-hmm. 49.50 does not hold.
Yeah, I'm looking for potentially 1032 if that's the case myself. Otherwise, I'm looking for a close that could be close to 1080.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I'm thinking, is if this 49.50 holds and all this back and forth we've seen this morning is accumulation by institutions, then we come out of here like a rocket into the afternoon.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm looking for as well. And with the gold market, I feel pretty much about the same. Bert brought up an interesting point as well, that he feels that sometimes the bottoms on the markets are seen on a Sunday night, and that's where we start to get some good buying interest. And once we do, then, of course, the market does move up. But I'm also looking at the dollar, in this case as well, and we've had such a strong dollar. I'm thinking that in the near term, I'm thinking 82 might be the top. In the long term, I'm still looking for 72. I'm looking for the dollar to come down. The long term, I'm looking for the tangibles to come up. But the turnaround point is, we still have a ways to go, I feel.
Okay.
Oh.
we have any key reports coming out on Monday?
Tuesday. Tuesday is what I'm looking for, the USDA. And because the grains have washed out so drastically, I'm looking for potentially a turnaround. And I'm thinking it could be the soybeans and the wheat or the corn. I just feel that we have a great deal of corn. And so I'm looking more for action in the wheat and the soybeans on Tuesday as far as a potential turnaround. But the report, I'm getting all kinds of figures, but they're talking about South America having these large, large grain crops, and their weather conditions are far better than ours often. And so it still remains to be seen, you know, what we're going to actually get in the report. And then when the report comes out, how are the traders going to construe it? Are they going to go ahead and, you know, start buying the market, or, you know, will they just regard them as uneventful, you know, plugged in already because they knew that already. Very difficult to say. So I don't see any major reports. You know, our next FOMC is March 16th. We still don't anticipate any change in policy, but that is something that we have to still look at. It, you know, we never know with our U.S. government what they might do, but
That's true.
Yeah, it's always a little surprise for us. But I'm still looking. A lot of people don't agree with me, but I'm thinking that as early as June they could announce that the long extended period may be shorter than they would assume. And they were assuming 2011 or late 2010 that there could be a policy change, but we haven't seen anything to indicate that they have any intention as of yet. So, again, one never knows.
Yeah.
So, but that's really about it. Tuesday, you know, we go into wholesale trade, you know, and then the APIs come out in the afternoon. And, oh, mind you that the crude oil yesterday, that was pretty much the star of the day in terms of moves. We were down $4 on the day in the crude oil, and that was a big, big move. It had a significant support in there, you know, around the 42.49, and it broke through there today, actually, just today. But it had a pretty severe move yesterday that created a good sell mode for me, and it seems to be a continuation. So we're looking for more downside action in the crude, I think potentially 68 on the crude. And I think this stems from the demand factor that we're not anticipating a great demand, and that seems to be the mover and shaker in the marketplace right now, more so than the supply data even.
Gotcha. We got a holiday coming up, don't we?
Well, yes. February 15th. We have Washington's birthday, President's Day.
We
take off that day. And so if we get continuation of a washout then next week with the markets, I'm anticipating a bounce towards that particular time frame, and I'm anticipating exhilaration coming back from the holiday where we might very well have some upward moves then the following week.
We have President's Day, which celebrates Abraham Lincoln and George Washington's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And on that same day, Susan B. Anthony was born.
Oh.
And then the following day, on February 16th, always exactly 46 days before Easter, this is the beginning of Mardi Gras, also known as Fat Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following day is Ash Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And also Random Acts of Kindness Day.
Oh, yes.
And then the following day is when Pluto was discovered. And then wrapping up the week on February the 19th, in 1968, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood debuted.
I love that show.
It was good, wasn't it?
He was wonderful. He took the time to, it was hard to believe that he was a real person. The way he could take the time to explain things and to take everything and slow it down. I just love that about
him. Have you ever read that email that was circulated about him, about how he was a Marine and his arms were covered with tattoos, and that's why he always wore the sweater to cover up the tattoos so the little kids wouldn't have... Have you ever... That was
no.
a widely circulated email. It went into so much detail about how he was in the foxhole with this one guy and the battle that was raging, and none of it was true. It was the figment of someone's imagination, but it made for a great... You know, urban legend, a great story.
There are too many of those.
There really
I
are.
I hate that because I'm so gullible. I have a tendency to believe all this, and then I have to research everything because of that. So it just takes me away from whatever I'm doing to say no.
A great site for that is called Snopes. S-N-O-P-E-S. I mean, I have a friend. He sends me this stuff all the time. He gets so worked up and so agitated, and I just email him back, and I go, hey, man, that's not true.
Oh.
What do you mean it's not true? And I go, well, you know, it's just, it's not. I mean,
yeah. Oh, it makes life difficult. You want to, just remembering things that you want to remember is difficult enough, but besides putting things in your mind that shouldn't even be there.
Right.
So, I hate that. I do love to have truthful stories, and I love biographies to see everybody's individual plight, you know, and to see what they might have gone through in their adverse conditions and how they were able to. I love the stories where they can go ahead and conquer their fears and all the things that go against them in life, you know,
right.
and excel at whatever it is that they dream of, you know. So those are always so inspiring to me. I love those.
But yesterday was Rosa Parks' birthday, and today is Hank Aaron's birthday. So this is a pretty good little calendar I found at familycrafts.about.com. I just started typing in February, and this popped up, so I think I'll hang on to it. I'll bookmark it. I mean, it tells you everything. There's Umbrella Day. There's Ferris Wheel Day. There's all kinds of stuff going on. Leslie, have a good weekend.
You too, Dwayne.
I won't be here on Monday. I'll be out, but we'll talk Tuesday.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks so much.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Bill, I don't know if he's ready, available.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bill. Welcome to the show.
How are you, sir?
Good, sir. I'm on a short leash, but I wanted to call you, say hi, wish you a good weekend, see what words of wisdom or encouragement you have for us.
Well, I think I have a good one. I'm just doing a little bit of reviewing here, and part of what I'm looking at is the idea that we touched on yesterday of waiting. And in the not wanting to confuse waiting on God with waiting on our system to manifest a trade, but we can use that. We can use that great that what we can derive from that. And I came across some words of Andrew Murray. Let me see if I can pull them up here. Waiting is a quiet, confident persuasion that our waiting is not in vain. So when we're waiting on God to manifest himself in our lives in inner circumstance or to give us strength to get through something, waiting is not a passive event. Waiting, it's a quiet confidence. It's a digging in. And we can use that illustration for when we're sitting on our hands, so to speak, you know, waiting for our trades to manifest. Because sometimes, let's face it, men and women the same, but it's you know, largely men. We don't like to wait. We don't like to not be productive. But if we have a quiet, confident persuasion that our trading methodology is true and accurate and right, then we just sit and we wait in that, in the confidence in that. And please, I'm not even attempting to say, you know, our hope is in our trading system.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, if we're going to accurately and effectively execute our trading system, then we need to wait with quiet confidence assurance in that system. Because if you don't have confidence in your system, then if your system hasn't proven itself over time, then why are you using it? Then you need to find a new system that works, that has proven itself to you. And I would dare say, time again, if you look at the the benefits of your system, you know, the profits that it's generated when you've adhered to it, I would dare say that those times that the system proved itself most profitable is when you adhere to it most strictly. It's when we kind of veer off the path a little bit that our trading system tends to not be as effective as otherwise. Excuse me. And, you know, this is a business, especially trading on the screen, this is a business where you can't view your results, you know, through a microscope. You've got to review them, you know, from the balcony and kind of take a look back and look and see.
All right, say that part again now. Viewing from the street,
from the balcony. But when you're viewing your profits, it's best not to view them through a microscope. Meaning, you know, what are they?
Okay,
on,
right.
But it's best to view them from the balcony. You know, what are they week to week, month to month. And when you view them from there, I think you would see that your profits are most consistent and growing when you have a very rigid adherence to your system, that you will actively engage in waiting, view waiting as something you actively engage in and not something that's passive, and understand it to be that. In the same way that. That when we wait on the Lord, we're not just, okay, you know, here was another day. No, it's an act of engaging in Him.
You know, a lot of people don't know whether they're a bad trader mm-hmm. or they have a bad trading system, because they don't follow the rules consistently.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of a week or the end of a month, a person can say, I'm a good trader, because I followed all of my rules to the letter.
Mm-hmm.
But I lost a boatload of money, which tells me my system is not very good. As opposed to the trader who has a system, and he uses the rules sometimes, and sometimes he doesn't, and he just kind of vacillates. At the end of the month, he's also lost a boatload of money, but he doesn't know why. At least the guy who followed the rules knows why. The
yeah.
system's not working.
Yeah, and I would even go so far as to say that I would change one thing in that disciplined trader who's following the system and he's lost a boatload of money. You can have a disciplined trader following a system and lose a manageable amount of money because it falls within, again, those statistical probabilities.
Right. Okay.
So
well said.
I would just add that one layer to it. So no, absolutely. There is that dynamic, to be sure. I was emailing yesterday and today with a fellow out of London who has a who developed a trading system that when he paper traded it, the profits have been outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, let me see if I can pull up his email. But when you hear what he says, So he says, okay, I've studied this method, watched it, modified it for my own needs, and have been paper trading it for around 6 months. And in the paragraph before, he describes, I mean, just some really fantastic returns. The trouble is, when each new signal comes through, I either lack discipline or courage to take it, or feel unclean, as you say, that this is a gentleman who's wrestling with is trading gambling.
Mm.
And we're kind of working through that. And, mm-hmm. and again, that has to be a question that like the Apostle Paul says, you know, eating food that's clean or unclean, that there comes a point where the Bible just doesn't make that delineation, but you need to internalize that and say, okay, God, this isn't for me, or this is for me. I says, so he says, I take the trade, or else I take it, make a profit, and lose it elsewhere, trading recklessly. I know it works, but I don't trust it. For some reason, I rely on my foolish brain to override the decision, and my foolish brain is often wrong when the system is right. So again, you know, you have a trader here who's got just if what he described is accurate, he'd really just have a very powerful trading system. And quite honestly, my next response to him might be, okay, I'll buy that system from you if those returns are as you indicate, because they're quite powerful. But he just lacks the ability to execute and to get it right. So, it's a struggle. There are certainly. The more people email me and contact me, it seems they're just, you know, the same four or five common threads that continue to run through that people just wrestle with. And one of them is the idea of waiting. One of them is the idea of just staying true to your system. And so many times we don't stay true to our system because we can't wait. It's like, oh, you know, I got to get something going. So that's the words of Andrew Murray, I thought, were really, really apropos. And we can just apply again. So much of the Bible is, you know, we can derive so much about relationships, God the Father with us as children. We learn from that, and we apply that to our family. We learn from the way that people behaved in the Old Testament, and we derive those behaviors out, and we apply them to our business, to our family, and the like. And we can derive the methodology, so to speak, of waiting on the Lord, and we can apply that to waiting in business, waiting on a family member, something like that. So it is having that quiet confidence that our waiting is not in vain builds the assurance that, okay, my system's proved itself in the past. I know I need to wait. I just need to set this aside, capture my thoughts, focus on this not being a time of wasted time, but it's a time of productivity, and wait for those good returns to come.
Amen. Amen. Good work.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Well, listen, I'm going to be out Monday, but we will chat Tuesday.
Sounds good. I will make note on my calendar for that. And
you
report.
Have a fantastic weekend.
You too, Dwayne.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, I've tried to reach out to Mr. R.J. Bomarito via email with no success. I've got a meeting I've got to go to. I'm going to attempt to connect with him offline or off air, come back for a very quick chat with him, and then I got to get rolling. So apologies to the guest I was unable to make it to. All right, I'm going to give you some music, and I'll either be back with RJ or I'll be back to say goodbye.
Try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. The many trials that seem to never end. His word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings, there will be a place where no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to new ways. I
journey seems so long. You feel you're walking on your own. There has never been a step, but you've walked down all alone. Troubled soul, don't lose your heart, 'cause joy and peace he brings, and the beauty that's in store outweighs the hurt of life's sting. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings, that there will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day,
flipping through a magazine, says she wants to look that way. But her hair isn't straight, her body isn't fake, and she's always felt overweight. Well, little girl 14, I wish that you could see the beauty is within your heart. And you were made with such care, your skin, your body, and your hair are perfect just the way they are. There can never be a more beautiful you. Another plan, only wants what you'll do instead. Well, little girl 21, you never thought this would come. You starve yourself to play the part. But I can promise you, there's a man whose love is true, and he'll treat you like the jewel you are. There can never be a more beautiful you. Oh,
too far to back away. Be who you are to change your path. Go another way. It's not too late. You can be saved.
If you feel depressed with past regrets, the shameful nights, hope to forget, can disappear. They can all be washed away. By the one who's strong, can right your wrongs, can rid your fears, dry out your tears, and change the way you look at this big world.
I am back. All right, I was unable to connect with RJ. Shareholder Communications, Santa Fe Gold Corp, offline. I think he was on the phone. So he and I will come back and do a standalone show this afternoon or potentially over the weekend. I won't be here Monday, so the outside, we'll do it Tuesday. In the meantime, I hope that you have a wonderful weekend. Spend quality time with your family. Of course, I'll see you all in church on Sunday, right? Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy, with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.